Praise the Lord. Let's stand, if you will. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly counted a grand privilege. Lord, it's been said many times, but oh God, is truly from the bottom of our hearts, we do appreciate the opportunity to come and gather around your word, Father, with our precious brothers and sisters. Lord, to hear you speak to us. Father, an opportunity to worship you together, Lord, to feel your presence flowing from, Lord, one another, Lord, drawing strength from each other, strengthening each other. Lord, it's such a wonderful time to gather. Father, I pray that you would just bless us. May you just come down amongst us, Lord, in a special way tonight. Oh, God, may your sweet spirit, Father, just flow amongst us, meet our needs. Father, anything we have need of, strengthening of our souls to our bodies, whatever it may be, Lord, just have your way as we open our hearts and our minds to you. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Are you thankful to be out tonight?
Yes, amen.
He's so wonderful. You may be seated if you'd like. Let's turn our big books to page 29. Amen. I am resolved. Are you determined, saints?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. a determination like that. Hallelujah. I'm resolved no matter what comes up. Amen. Page 42. It's over a little bit. Amen. Very familiar songs, but I love them, saints. Amen. Give me these old time songs. Hallelujah. I feel like traveling on. Amen. My heavenly home is right and fair. I feel like traveling. Are you watching?
Yes.
Waiting. Amen. Amen. He's going to come to those who are watching and waiting. Amen. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and take his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I waver, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our soaring cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back. Oh, what a day. Amen. Oh, our Lord is coming.
shall come back. Amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be, saints. Hallelujah. Oh, just try to stop and imagine. Try to think what it's going to be like. Amen. I know. I can see one change that's going to happen real quick. Amen. We'll have to wear no more masks. Hallelujah. But, oh, saints, half has not been told. We could go through each one. Somebody naming something you're looking forward to. And I'm sure you've got several each. Amen. But with all that said, the half has not been told. Just think about it, saints. Our Lord is coming back. Are you looking for it? Waiting for it. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no chance to live after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Amen. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise his holy name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for an offering?
Thank you.
Praise
his name. That's the blessing.
Amen. Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way.
Amen.
Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way.
Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way.
Feeling so much better.
Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about the Lord.
The devil, he don't like it.
Talking about this good old way.
The devil, he don't like it.
Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Amen. How many have something on your heart? Request.
Praise
Amen. Do you believe it's already met? Amen. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here.
Yes.
Be seated. Amen. Will we have a special tonight?
Lord, I see the time is near. You are just about to appear, and then I look close at my life and see the places I need to climb. I can see little things I've left undone, but by your grace I'll overcome. I see I need you so much more than ever before. I need you one step on my own, lest I should fall. I find I'm weak,
I am helpless.
I found out that I'm so small. I need you more, precious Lord, than ever before. With all my heart, Lord, I can see that I have a desperate need for carnal senses and human flesh cannot rise up. So, Lord, in all humility, all my weakness I bring to Thee. I see I need You so much more than ever before. I need You. I cannot take one step on my own, lest I should fall. I find I'm weak,
I am helpless.
I found out that I'm so small. I need you. Precious Lord, than ever before. I find I'm weak,
I am helpless.
I found out that I'm so small. I need you more, precious Lord, than ever before.
Let's stand together if we would. Sing old chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe.
Heavenly Father, we truly count it a great privilege to be here this evening, Lord, and to come in and together around your precious word. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you'll take these few simple words that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, as we renew our minds, Lord, may it some way stir our hearts and maybe cause a little greater love, Lord, or maybe cause us to press a little harder, Lord, or to maybe want a little more of you in our lives. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you would bless your word and inspire it to our hearts, Lord, that it'll just be words that has been read, Lord, unless you can take it and dip it into our hearts, Lord, and maybe we can identify with it, Lord, or begin to realize that we need a little closer walk with you. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. And happy to be here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes, as I said, it looks like there's quite a few missing this evening. But, I said, there during the time we were shut down, we were preaching to 2 and 3 in here, it seemed like. So this is a full house. Amen. Yeah. We'll take it any way the Lord will let us have it. Amen. You know, it's just wonderful that we can gather. And and none of us like masks, I'm sure. But if that's what we have to do to be able to come and feed on God's word, then it's one small price to pay to be able to come and enjoy the fellowship with him around his precious word. Amen. While you're standing, let's turn our Bibles over to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Amen. Very familiar little thing. Just kind of was on my heart, and as I was beginning to, was just meditating on these things, and it may seem very simple, but I just thought we would go back and renew our minds to a few things, and it's a very deep subject, and you could preach forever on it, but we're just going to highlight a few things and just talk about it a little bit. But here in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and let's just start there at the 12th verse. And neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Just thinking about that, and as you just to push your mind back a little bit, and it's been talked about many times, but as we can look back into the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve done what they done and they were kicked out of the garden, and then God showing Abel and revealing to him that the blood and that the sacrifices started, and how they had to bring that sacrifice year by year for the purifying of their sins, and how they had to offer it. And realizing that how sobering a time that was for them to bring that goat or that little sheep that they had kept all year without spot or blemish, and to bring it up to that altar and prepare it, and to lay it up there and to slice its throat open and lay their hands upon to hold it, and knowing that as it was bleeding and dying, and if you've ever killed anything and seen the blood pump out of its neck like that, and to feel its body jerk and shake. And what a time that must have been, realizing that that blood was covering their sins. And that was their atonement then. And realizing the seriousness that held for them. But knowing that we see in this last, as Jesus Christ came on the scene and became our sacrifice and covered our sins once and for all. And not only that, as he says here, how that as they would come and they would... the blood was shed for them of that lamb, how they would go away justified for one more year. But yet they, not justified, that's not the right word, but they would go away with feeling sanctified from it, but not having, they were still remembering, and they still had a desire to do what they were doing. It didn't take that from them. They went out the same person. As they were still the same person, and the next year they had to come again because the same sins just kept on, and it kept on. The desire was there. It was driving their ambitions to do what they were doing. They just offered the lamb to cover that. But Jesus Christ come to do away with that by grace. And when he entered in once and for all, it was done away with. And he purged our conscience forever.
And when that blood was shed on us as an atonement, the worshiper had no more remembrance of sin and no more desire to sin. Amen. And it was gone from him. And how we see that Jesus come to pay that price for us. And you know, as we stop to think, oftentimes we come in here and we gather under the blessings of God and we worship him and we praise him. And we sit here and hear all he's got for us. And we have a desire burning in our heart to do that. And we don't desire the things of the world. And we don't desire to be like the world. There's something greater than that in us that's pulled us away from that. And how we can look out here and we see many that their desires are still for that. They want to be caught up in everything the world has to offer. And all that's out there. And they may claim that their atonement's been paid and that Jesus died for their sins. But it's showing they have not been identified with their sacrifice. And how that is in the Old Testament when they laid their hands upon that blood would spray on their hands and probably on their clothes. And it was obvious that they had been there. And how that when Jesus paid that ultimate sacrifice, that blood, that life that came back upon the believer. Yeah, how it brought atonement, but it shows evidence. Just as much as that blood splattering on them in the physical, the life coming back upon that body of believers is just as evident today that they are identified with their sacrifice through that. Amen. But I want you to think about that, how that it was just an animal life. But if you turn with me to Matthew, let's just read what our Lord did for us. And think about this again. As, you know, oftentimes it's maybe read, and you know, they made the movie Jesus of Nazareth and they put it out there, and many times it's been shown to the children, and maybe we've watched it. And we see this, but just stop and think for a moment that he was a man like you and I. He was housed in human flesh. And he'd come to pay a great price for you and I. He was perfect. He didn't need to go to that cross. But he went there with you and I in his mind. And he suffered. The things that he suffered, we should have suffered. It should have been ours. But by grace and by his great love that he had for us and his plan, he bore it all for us. But just here in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and let's just read there at the 29th verse and just bear in remembrance of what he did and what he's went through for us. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, let me just back up, I'm sorry, to the 27th verse. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And just think of this life that was being expressed came back upon the worshiper. Think about that. That the very life that he was expressing here should be expressed through us today. And he says, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, and they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments and casting, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head an accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they had passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, It's thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And about the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land. Well, that's enough. And then we realize that all that he bore, and before this, if you go back in the scriptures, they beat him with whips, and his broke his flesh, and all the great agony that he went through for you and I. And we stand here tonight, and if you turn back to Isaiah 55, just to just to put this in our minds fresh, what Isaiah was prophesying here, why this was all taking place. Amen. I didn't mark the page here. Isaiah 55. Amen. I'm sorry, got the wrong scripture. Yeah, here, Isaiah 53, I'm sorry. Let's just read that whole chapter. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And as he is brought as to a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and in the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, ye shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And how we can see that great God, how God humbled himself so great, yes, to come down and to take the time, and to be born in a manger, and go through all that he went through. For you and I, that we could be able to gather here tonight and to feel this presence that we feel. To know that we house him within us and that he's bringing these bodies under subjection to his precious word. And we can see all of this taking place. And how, as we can see that we've becoming identified with our sacrifice. And that what he did on that cross was not done in vain. But he did it for me. He did it for you. And as we come in here, what a love that ought to cause in our hearts. And how that ought to make us feel so humble. And how it should keep us from being lifted up in pride to think that he humbled himself so great that he could, of all that he could have done, as he was beaten and he was mocked and scoffed and spit upon and all of this, yet he opened not his mouth, but he bore it all for you and I. And oh my, how it ought to tenderize our hearts to be able to sit here and to recognize and to see what he's done for us. You know, we all have sinned and come short, as the scriptures Paul says in Romans. And how we all needed that sacrifice. And not one of us here could have ever made it if he hadn't have paid the price for us. And you know, in Ephesians 2, he says, as Paul put it, Ephesians the second chapter. Amen. Ephesians the second chapter, the first verse. But you hath he quickened who were dead. And oh my, when we can truly see where we were and truly realize that I needed that price paid for me. Oftentimes we forget where we come from. And oftentimes we get lifted up in ourselves thinking that I didn't need anything and I don't need anything. When our bodies are well and we're not sick, we're full of vinegar, so to speak, and up and running, we don't need nothing. And oh, we're all sufficient. But let these bodies get weak, or let sickness strike us, or let troubles come in life, and then we begin to think we need him. But we all were dead in sins and trespasses. All of us. And wherein in times past we all walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We once did. We once did. Among whom also we had our conversations in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh my, when we saw the covering that he made, and the invitation that was come forth when Peter, when he was come down out of that upper room, and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And he said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And what that life that would come back upon that forgiven believer. And how we can, each one as we stand here, and I'm just barely covering the surface, but each one of us as we stand here, if we can truly see where we did walk, where our desires were, what we wanted to be, and today we can see where we're headed and the desires that we have today and the longing that's placed into our life. It's only by grace that we can truly see that we not only know that he died on a cross, but we've been identified in our sacrifice and can see that that blood has been applied in our hearts and in our lives. And how we come in here, that ought to be such a joy. Don't forget where we've come from. Don't forget how far he's brought you. Yes, we've still got a ways to go, and we're going to get there by God's grace. But don't ever lose sight of what he's already done to this point for you. And oh my, never forget the price that he paid that we can sit here. And oh my, come in here and enjoy the blessings that he's given us in his provided way of sitting here and hearing the word that God has provided for us. And oh my, how so much time in life we will allow little miscomforts. It's too hot. It's too cold. I got to wear a mask. All these little things. What kind of excuse is that? When he went to a cross and hung and bled and died and was beaten and scarred for you and I to sit here and be able to enjoy the presence of the Holy God among us and to see what he's provided for us. And who knows what we'll have to go through before he comes and takes us off of this earth. But it will not be nothing compared to what he's bore for you and I to be here tonight. Oh my, with a desire burning. Amen. Oh my, just think of that, a desire. I didn't come here because I was made to come in here tonight. But I came here because all day long there's been something turning, something tugging. Tonight is a church night. Tonight's a night I get to go in together around that precious word. And God's going to feed me. God's going to open up himself to me and give me something from his precious word. But oh my, is that the way we see it, or is it just a church night? Oh, I got to go to church tonight. I could have went fishing tonight, but I got to go to church. No, that's not how it is. The desires are all changed. Oh my, back under the Old Testament, when they had to take that lamb and it was time, they knew. And the ones that did it with true sincerity, they didn't have to be beaten and drugged to get up there. They watched that lamb all year long to make sure it didn't have a spot or a blemish on it. And they took it in there and did what they had to do. But oh my, God has done so much more for us, and how we should truly take into consideration what he's done for us. Amen. And the freedoms we enjoy in the Spirit. And to see that, as our brother's been bringing and seeing that token, when it's applied. And there is, and as Paul said in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And oh, when we can see that it's only by mercy and grace and what he has done for us and placing that desire in there, that it's there and living. Amen. This is in the Church Age book. It's a little bit lengthy, but we won't take too long here. But just want to read what Brother Branham was saying. And just stuck out to me, and we've all heard it many, many times, but just praying it'll stir our hearts in some way here. And this is on paragraph 111 in the newer Church Age book that was reprinted. He says, "You know, God looked down into..." Let's see here. He says, "You know, God looked down and declared, 'The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and it is separated from me, and it can't approach unto me.' And we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That meant all died and all were separated. And one day a time would come when even a bit of life would be snuffed out and it would be all over. But God in love took an animal and took its life in the place of the sinner's life. And in the Old Testament, the sinner brought a lamb and he placed his hand on the lamb while the priest cut the lamb's throat. And he felt the bleeding and heard the bleating. And he felt the body stiffen in death. And he saw the smoke of the sprinkled blood ascended to God. And he knew the lamb had taken his place. And he knew that lamb's life had been fortified for his. But the life of that lamb was an animal life, and it could not come back upon the sinner, making him clean. So he left with the same desire to sin. And he would go out with sin in his mind and come back and offer a sacrifice for the same thing a year later. But in the New Testament, it is not so. Our dying lamb is the Son of God who gave his blood a ransom for many. By faith, we walk up and place our hands upon that lamb, and we see him with bloody wounds, the lacerated back, and the cruel thorns tearing his brow. We feel his pain and hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And what happened? The life that left that broken blood cell came back upon the repentant one. And that life was in him came back upon us. And we go back with no more desire to sin. We now possess a hatred for the works and the lust of the flesh. Look at us. What is our life? Just one little cell that came from our Father. The female does not have the hemoglobin. She produces the egg and she is the incubator. But the blood comes from the male. And that is why the woman takes the man's name. And the children take his name. The mother is the incubator for the children she bears. And that is what happens for our redemption. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary and she bore a son and called him Jesus. The great Creator came down and became a sacrifice for our sin. And his blood was the blood of God. And that is exactly what it was. The blood of God was shed. And the Spirit left him as he died in agony. Then the same life, Spirit, came back to indwell the repentant sinner and set him free. And that sinner did not come back year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, for there was no need. By one sacrifice, once and for all, he had been set free from the dominion of sin and has received the life of Christ, whereby he reigns in victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And thank God for that day. Oh my, what a terrible life it would be if I didn't desire to do any of this. And as our brother has been bringing it and as he's tried to express that, God doesn't expect you to do this without a desire. He made the way if you'll just believe him and take him at his word and accept the provided way that he's given us for this last day. That life can be yours just as much as it is mine or anyone else in here. Amen. Amen. And bring about that true change in your life. God did it. He did it all. He cried out to the world, cursed in sin, I will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child, and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and that will be your sign. It will be an everlasting sign. And what she brings forth will be Emmanuel, God with us. God came down in a blood cell, not through a man, but by the Holy Ghost, and in that virgin womb, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built, and the seed of the woman came in order that he bruised to bring us our salvation. And when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, he created within her womb the cell that would multiply and become the body of our Lord. And that cell was created. It was the beginning of the creation of God. And that is who Jesus is. And that Holy One was filled with the holy blood, even the blood of God, the tabernacle. That tabernacle came to birth and he grew to be a man. And he went to Jordan. And there that sacrifice was washed of John in the river called Jordan. When that acceptable sacrifice rose out of the water, God came and indwelled him, filling him with the Spirit without measure. And when he died and shed his blood, the perfect life of God was liberated to come back upon the sinner who would accept that Christ as his Savior. Oh, how striking it is. Jehovah born crying over a manure pile. Jehovah born in a manger of straw. There is your everlasting sign to the proud and puffed up. Just think of that. Look how humble he truly was. Oh, the great God that created all that there is. All, by him all things consist. And think of how he done this to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but has revealed it unto babes such as would learn. Oh, how striking it is. Born crying, in a manger and a straw, there's your everlasting sign to the proud and puffed up intellectuals that have evolved their own theology and denied the truth of God. Jehovah God, a crying baby in a stinking barn. And then we think we have a right to be proud, holding up our noses and criticizing and acting as though we were somebody. Here's your real sign. This is the right one. Jehovah playing as a boy. Jehovah working in a carpenter shop. Jehovah washing the feet of fishermen. I will give you a sign, said God, not the sign of a white-collared priesthood, not the sign of wealth and power. There's nothing in this sign that you will want or think suitable. But it is an everlasting sign. It is the greatest sign of all. Jehovah standing in the courtyard, bruised and bleeding with thorns on his brow, spit on his face, mocked and set at naught, Jehovah despised and rejected and naked upon the cross. While the hypocrites jeered and dared him to come down off the cross, Jehovah dying, Jehovah praying and nothing happening, and then Jehovah died. That is a sign for all men now. There isn't another like it. It is the great one. Then darkness came upon the earth, and they put him in a tomb. And there he lay those 3 days and nights until an earthquake shattered the gloom of night, and he came forth. Jehovah came forth. Jehovah ascended on high. And then Jehovah returned to indwell his church. Jehovah came back with a mighty rushing wind and flames of fire. Jehovah came back to walk in the midst of his church and empower his people. Once more Jehovah came, and this time to stay in his people. And again Jehovah heals the sick. He raises the dead and manifests himself by the Spirit. Jehovah came back speaking in tongues and giving the answer back in interpretation. Jehovah came down and he raised the prostitute to sin no more. He came down to the drunkard with fly blows on his face as he lay unconscious in the gutter. Yes, Jehovah came to manifest in flesh and manifest through flesh. Jehovah came, God in us, the hope of glory. Yes, Jesus came and shed his blood and set the captive free. He came and redeemed his lost sheep, and he gave them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and he won't lose one of them, but he'll raise them up at the last day. And oh, he says, hallelujah, the second death cannot hurt them. It has no power over them, for they are the lambs, and they follow him wherever he goes. And I want you to think about that, that God did all that he did, that that life could come back upon you and I. Amen. And he didn't take a chance that it might manifest and that it might vindicate that he was alive, but it'll prove today exactly the same as it did then, that he lived and reigned. It'll prove through our lives that he's alive. Amen. Through it manifesting and vindicating, the exact life and word that he produced in this Bible is going to live through you and I. And what a great privilege we have to be able to see that it, to be counted in that number, and to see that by God's grace, he's partnershiped us, as our pastor read, and see that he's given us an opportunity to be a partaker of that divine nature. Oh, what a joy it ought to place in our hearts when we come in here and we hear this precious word. And yes, it may come sharp sometimes. It may seem, feel like it's peeling it right off my back. But if only we would yield to the calling of the Spirit and truly just yield to God and lose our puffed up attitudes or our big me, I know so much, and just get down to where we could say, God, I see what you've promised, and I want to see it vindicated in my life. Whatever it takes, Lord, take me over. And let it, you have the full preeminence in my life, and watch God vindicate himself, what he said he would do through our lives. But oh, how thankful we should be. Here in the message, this was in the Hebrew book. It's about paragraph 118. This was preached in, I think the Hebrew book was 57, I think. By the Holy Spirit baptism, we're baptized into one body and are free from sin. God don't see you no more. He only sees Christ. And when you're in that body, God can't judge that body. He's already judged it. He took our judgments and invited us in. And by faith through grace, we walk accepting our pardon. And the Holy Spirit brings us into this fellowship with him, and we walk no more after the things of the world, but we walk in the Spirit. Quickened, the Word came to us, and he died in my stead. I'm made alive, and here I am, who was once dead in sin and trespasses, have been made alive. All my desire is to serve him. All my love is to him. And oh, how we could just measure ourselves up by the experience Brother Branham is expressing here as he puts this into into words. All my love is to him. All my walks is once to be in his name. That wherever I go, whatever I do, I glorify him. If I'm hunting, if I'm fishing, if I'm playing ball, whatever I'm doing, I must be Christ in me in such a life that it'll make men long to be that way. Hallelujah. And oh my, I pray that each and every one of us has got the same desire tonight burning. Amen. That our lives would be such a reflection of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us. And that we would be in such humility with what he's done for us that it would cause others to want what we have and what's expressed from us. And oh my, if we could just have that same testimony as he said right there. All my walks wants to be in his name. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I glorify him. If I'm hunting, if I'm fishing, if I'm playing ball, whatever I'm doing, I must be Christ in me, such a life that'll make men long to be that way. Amen. And oh, may God truly express himself. May we be humble and allow him to have that preeminence. I'm not of this world. We're pilgrims and strangers. We've been called for a greater purpose than this world can ever have. But by God's grace, he saw me in his mind before there was a moon or a star, and you can only say that you've got to put yourself there. But if you can truly see that he drawed you and he's brought you this far, and he's, by God's grace, you can see you were in the thoughts of God and see this. What a humility it ought to place in our hearts, and what a humbleness. It ought to cause us to want to just love him so and worship him. And oh, to give him our all. Each time we come in here, it ought to be such a ringing worship going back to him. It don't matter if there's two people here or 10 people here. But each time it's a love affair between you and him. And oh my, how it ought to show forth from our lives back to him. That oh my, he means everything to us. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. Kind of a chopped up little exhortation. But I pray that take something from it. Amen. And just a few nuggets you get to studying, and there's so much, and you wonder, how do you get the time? As a pastor, I understand. When you're trying to bring a subject to teach on or to bring it in a manner, it just takes so much time, and there's not enough time. But I pray that we can just take a few little nuggets, and somehow maybe a little nugget here, a little nugget there, in a few minutes we have, God will dip something into our heart, and then maybe another service, something else will build on top of it, and it'll fall right in line, and God will get the glory from it all. Amen. That's why we gather here, to let him have his way. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to bring. But he does, and he knows each time. Our pastor, I know, feels the same way. We come in here, as we study, we ask, Lord, what can I bring, Lord? What can I say? What can I do? And what, you just bring what God gives you and let God take the rest. Amen. He'll do the watering. He'll do the growing. Oh, my. I'm so glad I serve a living God. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. You can stretch your legs. If you would, in your big book, let's sing this little song, The Great Emancipator, on page 373. Amen.
Once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin, so hey.
song. Amen. The song of the redeemed. How thankful we are. Appreciate the word tonight. So many wonderful good little nuggets in there to ponder about and pray about and think upon. Amen. It's just so glorious to know that the word of God can make you feel so good. Amen. So thankful for it. Amen. In our dismissal prayer, I want to remember again Brother Samba in prayer. He's in the hospital, and it was last we knowed of, he's going to run some more tests. And I think they was thinking a line of congestive heart failure. So just continue to remember him in prayer. And I haven't heard last couple of days what situation he's in, but let's just remember him in prayer and our dismissal. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again that you made this opportunity for us to be gathered here. And Lord, we say it many times, but what a blessing it is, Lord, to be gathered with saints of like precious faith. Lord, a people that love you and adore you and are so thankful for your mercy and your grace and your love and seeing all that you've done for us. And Father, as our brother was speaking about what you've done for us on the cross, and even read in the scripture of Isaiah that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, we come before you again this time, Father, for our precious brother Samba. You alone know exactly, Lord, what his body needs. And Father, we know this one thing, you're the great physician. You're the great healer, Lord, and you always are waiting for the opportunity for us to take and ask, and knowing that you can fulfill the desire of our heart. For you're a loving God, and you're a caring God, and you are a great physician for the purpose to glorify that you're the great healer. And we ask now tonight that you would just take and send down in his room, wherever he may be. Lord, may the Holy Spirit, even now, O God, just bless him and strengthen his body and mend together, Lord, the things that need to be mended. That, Father, again, he could come out of that room glorifying you, that you're still the same healer you was yesterday and shall be forever. Lord, we appreciate you so very much now. Father, may his family be blessed as they gather around him at different times, and may they be encouraged also. Lord, everything will be all right. So, Father, we pray that you'll just lead us and guide us now as we depart from this little place, asking that you would lead us by the Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, to be true overcomers. And, Lord, we'll be walking in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit of God. And Lord, the Holy Ghost would just be a fire burning in our hearts to move us wherever you want us to move to. So bless us now, and we appreciate the word tonight. May it be truly an uplifting, Lord, an encouragement and strengthening. Lord, we walk closer to you above all things. We ask again for your glory and your honor and your great praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Richly bless you.